in Jesus' name, truly. Once again, you just unleash that glory, praise God, in your vessels. And I thank you for it. How rich it is to praise the Lord. There's nothing more beautiful, God, than to sing His praises. Lord, to lift up our voice and our hands. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you, God. We would come apart, but by you, even us, you cause us to hold together. And Lord, what a lovely together it is in you. Thank you, Jesus. What fellowship you've given us. Lord, to come and just to enter into that one faith and one mind and one praise. God, it's just a oneness, Lord, so beyond anything that this world could ever even imagine. But that's what you've made us in you. And Lord, thank you what we're awaiting. What we're, oh God. And Jesus, you wait too. Father, thank you. Thank you for this love. Your plan of love that's grown up and ready to be made manifest to all. Because He will make known to all that He has loved her. Thank you for that calling. Thank you, God, for that separation. Thank you, God, for the grace that caused us willingly to suffer together with you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go on over to 1 Kings chapter 11. And I thank God how many times He's brought us back to this passage over and over. And I can't even tell you how many times He does it to me over and over in my home, in my heart. The grace that is here continues to draw us back again and again and again. And reading from verse 4 of 1 Kings 11. It says, "For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father." His heart was not perfect with the Lord, as was the heart of David his father. "For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father." Now, you know, in the Word of God, when God tells us someone's heart was perfect with the Lord, when God tells us about a life that went fully after the Lord, can we pay attention? I mean, really, can we just say, you know, that's something to give attention to? Matter of fact, the something to give attention to. We need to examine it and to really know what this means and how it transpired. Now, most Christians, they know about the life of David, the grace that was given to this wondrous life, and what grace, as a young man chosen to be king. A man after God's very own heart. The slayer of Goliath, the greatest king of Israel. We could go on and on, but I'll throw in an adulterer, a murderer, a fornicator, and he disobeyed God. Yet, yes, all those things were part of the life of the man whose heart was perfect with the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And in case we did not hear that right, go on over to 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 8, about halfway down. It says, "David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart to do that only which was right in mine eyes." Amen. Shake your head. Go, wow. That's grace. You shake your head and you just go, wow. That's me. Hallelujah. That's you. And I thank the Lord. We rejoice together. This wasn't just about a life. This wasn't just about a story. This is the Word of God. This is alive, praise God, and works effectually and powerfully in them that believe. It's alive. It's not contained to a certain time. It's forever. It's the only thing that's ever going to last forever. And I want that by God's grace fully, praise God, in full force by the Holy Ghost, working alive and thriving, overflowing in my life. That this wasn't just for David. This is God's life, praise God, in David. This is that precious faith, hallelujah. And I partake of that. Thank you, Lord, because I have the life of Christ that lives in me. The life I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This wasn't exclusive to any vessel. Praise be to God. God's not a respecter of person. He said, I would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. Praise God, that passion. Hallelujah. Partaking, hallelujah, in that faith that just sets you so apart. I'm talking about so apart that your life just lives in absolute assurance, cognizant. I'm seated in the heavens right now in Christ. This is just a figment of everybody else's imagination. Jesse ain't here. Hallelujah. You really believe him? Do you believe him? Come on. Listen to his word. Take it in. It's time to take a drink. Big drink today. So I believe, just in that short encouragement of the Spirit, it's absolutely clear. It's apparent. It is fully known what God desires and what God wants. Amen? He wants full hearts of love. He wants hearts full of love for him and for his word. He's not enamored with ones that are enamored about their appearance or their actions. God's desire is a heart. And brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, we must get this. We really, by the grace of God, must get this. I believe it's something that many struggle with. And I'm talking about ones that know this high calling of God in Christ Jesus' message. And let me express to you, it's all grace. That message, yes, it's knowledge, but it's the knowledge of his grace. It's that revelation, praise God. And let grace truly make love, hallelujah, to your heart, to know how he loves you. To know this passion, praise the Lord, that he has for you. Ages past, seeing you in love. Before the world, before the foundation of the world, before anything. Seeing that love, pursuing that love, wanting that love. And praise be to God, giving everything that he would have it. We must get it. And see, I thank the Lord. I believe by his grace, I've come to understand. If there's anything he can do with me that would give you encouragement in the things of God, that would encourage your heart to say, oh, that love of Jesus is amazing. That would give you encouragement, praise God, in the love of his truth. I'm going to tell you one thing I do know. That's the grace of God that is with me. I know that. See, I know this is his choice, not mine. I know the words that he gives me are his words. They're not mine. I thank God. I thank God. He given me that faith. He gave me that faith for me, but he given that faith for you. You don't want me trusting me. You don't want me trusting books. You don't want me trusting an education. You don't want me to trust my lineage or my heritage. You want my confidence in God. And you want the enabling in my life by the power of the Holy Ghost. And I get that, and I rejoice, and oh, I rejoice in the aboundings of preaching the beauty of our Jesus. I know it's only because the grace of God that's with me. But see, I'm going to tell you something. When you fail, when you hurt others, when your testimony is hurting, when there seems to be something you can't cycle out of in life, that you've sought the Lord so many times, and you know it ain't right. If there was ever a time to take more grace, go get it. Go get it. You got to have enlightened eyes to really see what God is showing you at that time. It is easy to sing on the mountaintop and give him praises. It is. I thank the Lord every time we get together and share this wonderful word. There isn't anything sweeter. But God's got a work going on right now. He's got to work. He got me in this flesh. Greatest time of faith there could ever be. Greatest time, Lord, I got to be into the word, because this thing is it's fighting with it. It don't want to settle down. It wants to be unruly. But you love me, Jesus. It hurts, but you have me pressing even more into that thorn. And it ain't me. He's just squeezing me in it. Turn on over to 2 Chronicles 25. How could you have a sermon without a Bible study? How could you have a Bible study without a sermon? Amen. Amen. 2 Chronicles, we got to really understand this. There was a king here in chapter 25. He'd been a king for 29 years. His name is King Amaziah. And let's just read a quick little verse in chapter 25, verse 2. And this King Amaziah, that was king in Jerusalem for 29 years, it says in verse 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. How wonderful. Praise God. But there's a comma. And it says, but not with a perfect heart. You hear that? It says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. So you say, well, how can that be? Well, I'll tell you what, we can be full of actions, and we can be going through the motions with God and lack the first love all the way through. And that's the truth, all the way through. And I will tell you, by God's grace, God gave my life discernment, and I'm confident yours too, depending on how long you've been in the truth. And it's not to try to find ones out, but I knew ones like this growing up. Some of them even gave me this wonderful whole counsel of God. Some of them taught me this wonderful word of God. But their heart was not perfect with the Lord. And the reason that God will reveal that to you, because it became evident that they did not love grace. When you do not love grace at every turn in your life, your heart is not perfect with God. Everywhere David went, he loved grace. He knew grace loved him. His hands, everything about him. They were bloody. They had disobedience on them. They had murder. Oh, but always he was taking grace. Brothers and sisters, it's all about the state of the heart. God is after a state of a heart that is in love with the truth. Amen. He's about a state of a heart that is single in that love and in love truth. And a heart, praise the Lord, that nothing compares. Nothing. We read on Wednesday one of Paul's precious early warnings to Timothy in 1 Timothy. Go on over there. In that first letter, Paul warns Timothy. Paul warns us. And there in chapter 1, it says in verse 18 there, it says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. A good warfare. How's that? Holding faith. Holding faith. Now, we always have to remember who's speaking. You know who's speaking here? We know it's the Holy Spirit, but who's he speaking through? He's speaking through the Apostle Paul, the chosen vessel unto God, that God revealed that revelation, praise God, of the mystery of Christ and his bride. Those exceeding wondrous riches of his glory that he desires to bestow upon that vessel of mercy, his bride. So we know that the words that are coming forth, praise God, are for that. Amen. Amen. Just like old Peter said at the very end, Paul said some things that were hard to be understood by them that wrestled with the scriptures. It's the truth. See, Peter came to know that. And how do you know something like that? That was you. You can't speak anything like that unless you know you own that one. And that was Peter's life. Because Peter still wanted some of Peter. And Paul, all that Paul was given was grace. And grace doesn't have any work of you in it. It's all Jesus. Jesus, who is full of grace and truth. So that's what was being given. And then you think about, and who was it given to? Timothy. Timothy, that one that was going to go on and praise God and go on in that depth of the gospel to run well. That faith, those sound words that the Lord gave me, Timothy, for you and for all them also that love his appearing. You go on in it. You go on and win him too. He's the one that told Timothy, come on, Timothy. That crown that I'm about ready to get, that's not unto me only. That's unto you and all them also that love his appearing. Because you have this faith and you have the anointing of the Holy Ghost on your life, son. Stir it up. Get in love. Don't quench that. You'll go to sleep. Yeah. So we know who's speaking. We know who's being spoken to. And we know so one thing Paul always spoke about, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul's message was to win Christ. Paul's message was the bridal message. So we get it all. So we know when Paul says holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. I want you to really know this, and I would encourage you to write it in your Bible. That holding faith translates exactly to have and to hold. And I challenge any of us, where have you ever heard that? To have and to hold. Amen. It's only at a wedding ceremony. It's only between that husband and wife. Praise God. The Father's speaking to both of them even right now. To have and to hold. Amen. Yes, this is that faith. Those are wedding vows. The faith of a bride and her bridegroom. And we need to constantly dwell only in that faith to have that heart, praise God, which comes only from the message of Paul's gospel. And that's the truth. Because some will put it away. And but for the grace of God, I don't want to go there. Because to put it away, you had to receive it first. I can allow the Holy Ghost to decipher that. And we understand there's a falling away. And that falling away is going on right now. Because Jesus is coming. He's coming. He's coming for you. You heard him. You told him, I want that. And he's come for those words. And I'll tell you, he's coming for you. But you see here, some put it away. And that literally means to turn themselves and drive themselves away from it. To drive themselves. See, you can't put that on anybody else. Oh, no. You choose to depart from it. If you do. That blame's on you. You could point at anybody else. But you own it. And brothers and sisters, we either are only dwelling in Paul's gospel. And I'll tell you what. Dwelling there. You know what transpires in your life? A faithful, chaste virgin to Christ. Praise God. Or you don't. Now look at this. Going back here to 1 Kings chapter 15. It gets really good. Keep reading. In 15, let's see about David. Let's see what it says there about him. I just believe it's more grace. Verse 5, chapter 15. David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life. My goodness, we got another comma there. Save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. That was Bathsheba's husband that David murdered. Now, let's see this again. David that did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. So we're talking about right in the eyes of the Lord. He did it all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Now, did you notice something there? Did you really see the difference? It didn't say that David's heart wasn't perfect with the Lord. So wait a second here. You mean I don't actually have to live a perfect life to have a heart that's perfect with the Lord? There wouldn't be a heart that would be perfect with the Lord if the requirement was living a perfect life. Thank him for grace. I mean, just in your heart. You don't need to audibly. If you do need to, that's fine too. But just thank him right now. Thank you, God, for grace. Thank you that you love your grace for every one of us. Praise the Lord. If you're not thanking him for his grace right now, my heart is heavy for you. See, in the sight of the Lord, David did fail. In the sight of the Lord, you know what? You're going to fail. I'm going to fail. All right? But I want my heart always to be perfect with the Lord. I always want it to be perfect with the Lord. Because you know why? Full overcomers fail. But the thing about a full overcomer is, you know what? They settle, praise God, for nothing but a heart, hallelujah, to go fully after the Lord. They settle for nothing but all of God's word. They settle for nothing but all of God's promises. And they settle for nothing but all of God's grace. And you don't need to be talking to the devil and say, oh, you think you got me this time, but I'm going after more grace. Don't waste your time. I don't even like to acknowledge him. He's a tool in a lot of ways. But he's a tool, praise God, that the Lord uses in my life. He's a tempter. I give the devil no credit, but I thank God for what he's shown me. What I know and what I would never know without it. That's the truth. So I believe it's clear. Once again, it's love. And I just ask every one of us today, do we love the Lord? Do we really love the Lord? Do we really, really, really love the Lord? Praise God. Are we in love with him as he is in love? Praise Jesus with us. With us. Hallelujah. See, David's love, he loved God's word above everything. He loved God's word above everything. Psalms 119. Listen to this. We go on in all these scriptures. I mean, his heart danced before God. But in Psalms 119, verse 47, listen to this. David said, "And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved." Which I have loved. He was loving stuff. And I'll throw in all those commandments that which would have condemned him to death. How could he love that? Because even then he knew the blood fulfilled it for him. He knew God loved him beyond any of his failures. He knew that that word was perfect. But he also knew that it was only completed, praise God, in the blood of the Lamb. I will delight myself in thy commandments which I loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments which I have loved. And I will meditate in thy statutes. This man loved the word. This man was delirious. His heart panted after that word like a deer for the water. Praise God. He sought it out always. He didn't shy away from it when he did wrong. He pursued it more. It's the truth. I know God. He didn't know that verse, but he knew God in that verse. He knew God would work all things together for his good. The Lord did it over and over in his life. And don't think that just the things that the Lord magnifies about David's life, those were his only failures. You'd be nuts. There weren't enough pages to write about God's grace in his life. And there's not enough pages to write about God's grace in our life. I believe one of the writers of the Word of God said, and if we had to write all the things that he did, there would never be enough pages to contain it. I believe he's the author and finisher of your faith. How many endless pages are sitting out here today? Praise the Lord. Just praise the Lord. Amen. He can only write a masterpiece. Man, every hair, it just jumped off right here on this altar. I think they're gone. I'm surprised I don't have a bald head, Brother Dwayne. Amazing. Amazing is our Lord. David loved the word of God before everything. And David trusted God's faithfulness above everything. I love how he said it in Psalm 26. Right over there in verse 6 and 7. I will wash my hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. See how beautiful and simple it is? He wants us to love his word perfectly. And isn't it beautiful how he's told us it's truth in love? He wants us to speak truth in love. It doesn't say speak truth in judgment or truth in condemnation. Truth in love, because that's what truth is. And then he tells us it's the word of his grace whereby we are built up and made that masterpiece in him. Think of what he tells us. It's spirit and truth. Well, what is the Holy Spirit? It's the one that's given you all truth to know and to understand, to really get it with love that's shed abroad in your heart. That brings a hope that abounds, an abounding hope of the Lord. Always in the Holy Ghost. Always knowing that that abounding hope, well, first of all, the hope of man is an if. You know, I might hope to have a sandwich here after church. I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing, a hope with God isn't an if or maybe. It's just a waiting and a patience of when it's going to be. And see, this is what the transformation of this message of the Apostle Paul with the anointing of the Holy Ghost in our life, it becomes a super abounding hope that we are expecting at any moment. It's not an if, it's a when. The when that we've been, praise God, rejoicing in, that he will perform. He will accomplish. And all of that is about you and in you for him. His word. His word does not return void unto him. It don't return void unto him. There's no emptiness coming back to him in you. It's full. It's a cup that's full and running over. Praise be to God, I'm getting ready to pour it all over him. Thank you, Jesus. But every day we do that. We bring in that alabaster box and we just pour it out. We anoint him. Anoint him. Love beyond degree. to where he truly says about your life, you all be messing around, don't you bother her. Don't you bother her. That's you. Brothers and sisters, he's not looking for you to live perfectly. And I really want to underscore that, because I'll tell you what, it's led a lot of lives in a shipwreck. And there's one thing about a ship going in a shipwreck, it wants to lead all the other ships there too. And that's the truth. If you're following another ship, you're in the wrong place. Go to the lighthouse. Go to the lighthouse. Now, he's not looking for you to live perfectly, because I'm going to tell you something, in case you don't know, you can't. And if you are focused on it, and you're going to be so focused on others, now I want to really underscore that too. Listen. If you're going to be focused on you being perfect and others being perfect, I'll tell you what, you have missed. You've missed the beauty of the plan of grace. You don't get it. You're walking around that promise. You haven't entered in to rejoice with those that love that promise. I love grace for you. I love grace for all you. I thank God for every one of your lives. I thank God for every one of your mess ups. I thank God for every one of your little circles that you keep running in, that you say, God, I need to get out of this. It's not because it makes me feel better, but it builds praise in my life for his grace and his mercy. Do you know how many churches gather all the time that everybody, they want to look alike and act alike? I just want to praise him with you. Amen. We need to embrace it, brothers and sisters. We really need to embrace this. We got to get over it. Because I'm going to tell you something, and really understand and receive this. If David and Samson landed in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the worthies of faith, you and I can be in a full over company of glory too. I had to throw Samson in there too, you know. I don't want you to just get so focused on one and say, well, you know that, oh yeah, that one. Whew. You're in there. If this word and first love is in here, you're there. And every one of them, that was the one constant. The one constant. They all loved grace and mercy more than anything. And how much more do we have? We have the full testimony. We have all truth, not just to read, but to be alive. Dancing in us, rejoicing in us, praising God in us. No wonder, here we go. This is the time to be filled with all the fullness of God. So, we need to embrace what he fell in love with about us. What did he fall in love with about us? How about our infirmity, our weakness, our thorns? Read the word of God and know it. He loves mercy. He loves his mercy. And that's what he loves. And he gave us all those things. Do you know he gave you your infirmities, your weaknesses, and your thorns? And you know why? So we would be what he loves. He had to even make us what he loves. Once again, we have to refuse it, don't we? Because it's so laid out for us. You know what he loves? He loves vessels of mercy that are open to all grace, always, for all things, to superabound to every good work. And see, without those things, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, without infirmity, without weakness, without the thorns, we would never love him and his truth perfectly. You would never love him like that. You would never love that perfectly, because we would still be stuck in love with ourselves. Yeah. You better start glorying in your infirmities. You don't realize what God gave you. You don't need to necessarily glory in mine, but you should. I'm learning to glory in yours. Stepping into something of jointly reigning with Christ Jesus, even in your life. I love to see you fight the good fight of faith. And every one of us, praise the Lord, it's Jesus, different battle. Different vessels. Every time we go out on that battlefield for a moment, there's no way, but then there's no way you can even contend against me. See, I want to get in here by God's grace. And all I want to do is I want to love his truth together with you. That's all I want to do. I just want to fall more in love with that truth that's in love with us. Amen. And then praise the Lord. What'll all happen there is we'll just be amongst those brothers and sisters that have a heart perfect with the Lord. Do you know we win? Yeah, we do. Do you know we win? And it's this precious gospel of his glory. It's got everything. Let it be in you, because it wins. Amen. Let's pray. Oh my. Oh, yield to the Spirit, my brother. Yield in Jesus' name. Well, praise the Lord. And I don't want to hear another word in Jesus' name ever against his vessels of mercy. I pray people heard that. God, heal your critical spirit. Pray for those in Jesus' name that have the gift that they yield to the Spirit to give it. Understand, and we're praying, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you gave my heart to give a testimony to a sister again this week. God, help us not to live in the past, thinking somehow it was perfect back then. We live in the past. That's a sad place to be, because Jesus didn't come then. Jesus is coming now. Jesus is coming now. Jesus is coming now. And I thank you, Lord. God, your grace and mercy to be made known. Lord, in these vessels that are despised and criticized, even by the family of God. But Lord, you still love those critical ones. But Lord, let them bend a knee. God, let them bathe in humility before you. Because the time is running out. And all that's going to be in that bridal company is going to be a perfect love. A perfect, complete love for the head and for the body. And thanks be to God, you're doing it. And praise be to God, I'm in the evidence of it today. And it's all by your grace. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Oh, I thank you for the boldness. And it is time, Lord, to be bold in your love, to be bold in your word. And God, help us to quit being children and put away the childish things. God, I know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And Lord, I'm letting you and your word take care of your brethren. Lord, you are the performer of it all. And Lord, thank you that your word is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, thank you today as the Spirit has wielded it. And we give you the glory. Now and forever. And we're going to bring it to you in your fullness by your grace in Jesus' name. Amen.